messy and perfection.
Hi, I'm Danny.
I'm Shannon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
How are you, bestie? How's your day? I hope it's going great. Hope you have a great week.
Or send that to me or send that to the listeners.
The listeners, definitely not you.
Well, you were looking directly at me, so I was a little confused. Are we rolling?
Yeah.
Cool.
Hells yeah. Talking to you, baby girl.
I felt like I needed to pause a little longer than you did. Anywho, all right, guys. So I am here. Well, we are here. Not just me. It's not just me. We are here to.
We're here. It's about me, only me, and no one else.
Sometimes I feel that way. I want it to be all about me.
Same.
Whatever. Coming up with like kind of a health update, mosh pit of health.
Mosh pit?
Yeah, because there's a lot going on in this episode, but it's all connected. So, as we've talked about in the past, you guys all know that I've been struggling with the Hashimoto's and the autoimmune disease and dealing with, like, doctors and just not getting the answers that... I'm not getting the answers, period, I guess is probably the best way to put that, right?
Yeah.
So, I think the last time we talked about it, I updated you guys that my thyroid levels just keep getting worse and my doctors are like, you're fine, sleep more. Or eat healthier, whatever the case may be. And I'm like, okay, that's basically telling me that it's made up in my head, and we all know that that's not true. I don't think that I can make up hives. Like, that's just what it is. So I don't think that I updated... Did I update the pod on the gluten allergy? I know I talked about gluten-free, but I tell them about, like, how bad it had gotten.
I don't think so.
Yeah, me either. So we went from 0 to 100 really quick with the gluten allergy. We went from, like, we thought it was a gluten problem, inflammation, like, GI issues... to anytime I had gluten exposure, I was covered in hives.
Like, really bad hives.
Very bad hives. Like, so much that Amanda at work was, like, threatening me with that bee. Like, that's how hive-covered I was from a brief gluten exposure. So, it's kind of like my body was, like, forcing me into going gluten-free. And then a lot of this, too, was the tongue. Like, you had pointed out the geographic tongue, and I was like,
yeah, and I felt really proud of myself for diagnosing you with that.
I am very proud of you too, because I basically fixed it. Like, my tongue is like so much better just by getting rid of gluten, and that's wild because that probably was an indicator that I should have gone gluten free a long time ago because I've always had a geographic tongue.
Yeah, and for everybody that doesn't know, Google it, because this is definitely something you need a visual of. But basically, a geographic tongue is where you have like different textures and colors on your tongue. Your tongue should be generally very consistent.
Yeah.
It should all look the same. There should not be any, like, patches. A geographic tongue has multiple, like, basically islands of, like, different texture, different colors, and things like that.
And that's all related to your gut health, and it's something that I know my doctor has never looked at. I don't know if you're... I mean, obviously, you have an acupuncturist and a, chiropractor that looks at your tongue.
The chiropractor does not. The acupuncturist does. Okay. My primary has never looked at my tongue, right. But I can't remember. Other than, like, looking at your throat.
Right.
So, I mean, like, they could be, like, grazing at it there, but, like...
Not once has any doctor ever commented on what my tongue looked like.
No.
Ever.
Also, though, your dentist should be screening you for tongue issues as well.
Right.
I get an oral cancer screening every time I go to the dentist.
Same, but I don't think they care about a geographic tongue.
That's fair.
Like, they talk about everything else, but they never talk about the way my tongue looks. So, all that to say is I went gluten-free and my tongue is no longer geographic. I mean, like, very little. Very, very little.
It's so improved. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, even the color of it, I think, is completely different.
Yeah.
But while all this was going on, and in addition to, like, I was really struggling with what I can control versus what I can't control when it comes to health. Because a lot of this is out of my control. Like... completely out of my control, like the weight gain, the fatigue. Like, I was trying to plug and play things because I'm like, I just want to feel back to the way I felt like a year ago when I was in remission, and that's just not possible for me right now to feel like that. And I was like, kind of like just getting like down, like, I use the word depressed loosely because I don't like to term that because I don't think that I have like clinical depression, but I was definitely sad, and I knew that something needed to change. And I was just kind of like, what can I do here? Because obviously modern doctors were not helping me. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago with Anne Marie, and she's really the one that got me to like lean heavily into the natural path, holistic medicine realm. because she was like, we can fix this naturally. And, you know, going off that even more, as I was talking to my sister about that, and I was like, it's crazy because my doctor just keeps saying I'm fine. And she was like, yeah, because doctors want you to get sicker so they can do a pill for, like, basically a pill for an ill, which we talked about, again with Anne-Marie, but it's like they almost want you to get sicker before, like, they put, like, they want it to become an emergency before they fix you, is, like, how it felt. Because none of this is an emergency to them, but what happens if I go into an adrenal crisis? Then it's an emergency. And that's when they'll be like, oh, I guess you didn't make it up. Well, like, I don't want to get that sick. We all know that.
Well, they don't want to take the time to sit down with you and be like, okay, what are you eating? Are you eating healthy?
Right.
Instead of just being like, eat healthier.
What supplements are you taking? What are you lacking in? What,
right.
What do we need to detox? Because Anne-Marie, Dr. Abadis, is the one that was like, we need to, like, she basically is like, stop taking all the supplements you're taking. She was like, because your body can't do anything with them right now. You're literally just putting in things that is wasting. She was like, you need a detox. So that's like, we went gluten-free and I started to detox. We did our first Ionic foot bath yesterday.
That was amazing.
I don't even know how to describe that to these people, like what that even means.
I know. I feel like I need to read from the booklet to like describe exactly what it is. But basically, you order the whole set from Amazon and it comes with this little like metal rotted
agitator
that doesn't really agitate anything. This component that you put in this water bath that your feet are sitting in, and it disperses positive and negative ions into the water, goes into the water and into your body through the soles of your feet, attaches to the toxins, and then makes it easier for your body to detox out.
That was a very eloquent way to put that.
Thank you. I'm really impressed. That could be 100% wrong, but that's my understanding
of it. That's my understanding of it, too. So, essentially, this is something that I didn't know. Your biggest pores in your body are in your bottom of your feet.
Yes. That's where, like, the old wives' tale, that's not so much an old wives' tale about, like, putting onions in your socks on the bottom of your feet and stuff. That's where that comes from.
I didn't know that. It wasn't until Dr. Battis told me about this that I had any inclination, whatever, that this is what it was. So, like, this is one of the things I'm struggling with. This is like with Ionic foot bath and the castor oil.
Yeah.
It's like my brain is battling like holistic versus modern medicine, because we do. And I, like, before I went to her, I was like, oh yeah, I'm totally buying into this. Like, 100% and we're doing this. And you guys have heard me talk about, like, I don't like to take medicine. I like to use oils. I like to use heat or ice. Like, I like to use natural ways to heal my ailments than modern medicine. And yet it's a whole nother level when you're sitting in an office and they're talking about, like, your poop and your sleep schedule and when you wake up in the middle of the night and all this stuff. And they're like, okay, well, these are two things you need to do for the next couple weeks, and then we'll see where you're at and reevaluate. Because it's not a quick fix. And this is, like, a 2 to 5 year journey that I'm on to heal my Hashimoto's. And that's crazy to me, because you hear the stories, like, talking to her, and then just do research with these naturopaths, like, how much they really are curing things that doctors literally just want to patch a pill on for the symptoms, aren't even managing the disease. And there are Chinese medicine, there's traditional, like, there's so many different paths you could take to heal yourself holistically that we're just not aware of. And it's really hard when you're in the world of medicine to, like, battle, like, okay, this is sounds like voodoo witchcraft, but it's actually backed by science. And you do the research, you can tell that this is a science base. Like, the Ionic foot bath and the castor oil, I really struggle with that word, isn't just made up. Like, there's scientific evidence that these things actually fix you and, like, can heal you. So it's wild, but we did the Ionic foot bath yesterday, and it was disgusting.
It was. I think we should post pictures.
I don't know if anyone wants to see that, but maybe. Might be not a bad idea. I'm curious on what – so I didn't do the castor oil before I did the foot bath, but I think on – what's today? Wednesday, Friday. I'll do the castor oil in the morning and then do the Ionic foot bath in the night and see if that detoxes more, because the castor oil struggles so bad. That oil detoxes you. So I wonder if anything more will come out with using that oil.
Really keep an eye on your poop and see if there's anything like living in it.
What?
You don't, like, parasites. living in it, squirming, warming.
I saw a TikTok that this lady was doing it, and she did it on her, she put the oil in her belly button.
Oh, God, yeah.
To help break up, like, cystic cysts on her ovaries. And she said the first period she had after doing that, it was like, she was like, I'll save you the graphic details, but she was like, the whole lining of my uterus came out.
I've seen pictures of that where they will literally hold up a blood clot that's like in the shape of a uterus. I've seen pictures of it. It's insane.
But it's like, what does our body want to get rid of that we're not letting it get rid of?
Oh, absolutely.
Or we haven't like given the proper tools. Because like Dr. Batta says, like, we can give your body doesn't want to hold on to stuff it doesn't need. But if you don't give it the right tools, it has a hard time doing that. And that's when the inflammation process starts and you start feeling the crap and your body's not regular and all this stuff. And then like we do something like this and we're like, that's not natural. That can't be good. And we're in reality, like, that's exactly what your body needs.
Right. Like, think about birth control. When you like don't have periods when you're on birth control, that's not natural. Right.
Well, people think they're having a period, but it's not.
No.
It's not.
No matter what, anytime you have synthetic hormones in your body, it's altering the hormones that your body makes and the natural rhythms of it.
Yeah. That is something that she complimented on and was, she asked about my cycle. And I was like, my cycle is extremely regular. Like, very, very regular. And she was like, interesting. And I, because she, like, obviously expected it to be different because of my Hashimoto's. And I was like, I stand by the reason that is because I've only been on birth control 1 year of my entire life.
I have absolutely no doubt. That's amazing.
Not even a whole year on the pill. A whole year with the pill and NuvaRing combined. Never have I been on it more than that.
Yeah.
And I think that is hands down why my cycle is so regular.
I'm sure.
It's wild. Because I talk to other friends who've been on birth control forever. And even like, so my, I'm not going to like expose everybody, but like some of my closest friends will talk about how bad their quote periods are even on birth control. And I'm like, that's because your body is revolting. Does not want that. Does not want that. Even Shelby Sacco, she's having like a hell of a time coming off her birth control.
She is.
Hell of a time. And I'm wondering if she would try this oil, like, how that would impact.
Yeah.
Because, like, this girl was, like, she used to have horrible periods coming off the birth control. She used this castor oil, and it fixed everything in her. Like, she was like, I didn't even know I had a period. I didn't even know. Like, because symptoms aren't supposed to be a thing. And that's just talked about. This is going in a different direction than I expected, but I'm not mad about it.
Yeah.
But, like, you're not supposed to PMS. If you're PMSing, there's your body's deficient or needs something that we're not providing. You shouldn't even feel your period. Like, that's not normal. So, like, when you're 16 years old and you're having painful periods, the doctor's like, oh, go on birth control to fix your periods. That's not actually fixing anything. That's not helping you anything. You probably need like dark chocolate or almonds or something with magnesium in it to support your body because you're lacking in something and that's why you're having the pain.
It's so funny you mentioned magnesium because I just read this statistic this morning. 60% of Americans are deficient in magnesium.
Isn't 60%.
That crazy?
Isn't that wild?
That is absolutely insane to me.
But we don't test for that stuff, so how are we supposed to know?
Right.
Like,
and apparently magnesium is one of the harder things to catch, even if you do test it. So, like, I think that's absolutely wild.
It's crazy to me how little people know, and, like, we know as Americans that other countries know, and this is one of them.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's wild that the food standard is so vastly different.
So weird you say that, because I just watched a TikTok while we were taking our little break on this American girl living in, she lived in Europe. I don't know where in Europe she lived. But she was comparing the ingredient list to things that we have and they have. And, like, so, you know, like, Doritos, Sour Patch Kids. She, like, had, like, big name brand things that don't use the dyes that we use. And she was like, it still tastes the same. So why can Europe make it without the dyes, but America can't?
Right. And that goes for everything. Like you said, Doritos, McDonald's. Like, you go to a McDonald's in Europe and it is 100% different. Even in Mexico, which I found very interesting.
That is interesting.
When we went to Cancun last year. And they, like, it was, like, an all-inclusive, so they would put, like, little snack bags in our room and stuff, and, like, sodas and everything. On each nutritional label, It had, like, you know how on cigarettes they had the big, like, Surgeon's General warning that's, like, you know, smoking will cause, you know, this litany of things. It had the exact same thing on every junk food. It had, this serving has this many calories, this can lead to obesity and heart disease. In a big black and white warning on the label of every single junk food and soda can.
Fascinating.
I thought that was insane.
That's wild.
And I don't even think the ingredient list was different. I didn't, it was in Spanish, so I couldn't really check it. But yeah, I thought that was insane.
Huh.
Which I love, because, like, kids need to know.
Well, I mean, I love it, but I also hate it for us because we don't have that opportunity.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I don't understand what the difference is. Like, I understand it all comes back to money. 100% the government has some interest in making money off of obesity, heart disease, off of you eating these products. Like, I'm not oblivious to that. I know that's it. But, like, why? You know what I mean? You could make money in so many other different ways. But, I mean, I guess when you think about it, that is...
How dark of a hole do you want to go down right now?
Nah, I don't know.
Like, because we could really get down into a dark hole with
no,
this.
No, I know. Because healthcare is, like, the number one grossing industry in America.
But if we're not sick, they can't make money off of us.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Healthcare is number one grossing industry.
So, I was listening to the Alert Medic 1 podcast coming up here, and they talked about, like, the doctor, I can't pronounce his name. Nabom, the Baltimore County medical doctor, said, us in America haven't declared healthcare as a human right. We've declared, like, emergency care as a human right. Like, if you call 911, someone shows up, someone takes you to the hospital if you want to go, and EMTALA states that we will stabilize you, fix you until you can be discharged or whatever. But it's not our problem until it becomes an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
So healthcare isn't even a right for us in America. So why are we, like, it's just, like, so annoying, because it's like, okay, so we have these diseases, we have, you know, autoimmune diseases are caused by things we're eating. Clearly, all is related back to gut health. No matter what autoimmune disease you look at, it is related back to gut health. If your gut health is whack, everything else is going to suck.
Like, statistically proven, this is not
No, I'm not pulling this out of my ass. Like, you can deep dive on this. Like, and you have to deep dive it. This is not something that WebMD is going to tell you. But you can find scientific basis on everything that we're saying here.
Mm-hmm.
Autoimmune diseases are backed by poor gut health. So we have poor gut health, right? And doctors don't want to fix us because you can't see it. It's not like you have, it's not like obesity where you can see someone's obese, or you have a rash, or you have high blood pressure. You can't measure it by your vital signs. But people are telling you, saying, I feel like shit. And they're like, oh, that's because you're not sleeping enough, or whatever the case may be. And then you get more sick, more sick, more sick. And then it becomes an emergency because you're too sick.
Yep.
But you weren't given the right to get fixed when you first started complaining of that. And then same with diabetes, right? Like, okay, we're eating like shit, so we become insulin resistant. But we don't test for insulin resistance. We don't test for anything until our A1C is high. When insulin resistance is the first indicator of prediabetes, but we don't even test for that. And so, like, that is where we should be catching the diabetes, is when we recognize insulin resistance. And that is seen in your symptoms and what you're eating. And you can see it in lab values. We just don't test for it.
Correct.
And, like, that's what's frustrating, is America as a whole, we just suck. And I don't know how to fix that. Like, who's going to school right now? Who is our age right now that's going to become these people that make these decisions? Because give me their number. Give me where they live. I want to have a conversation.
But also,
with them. Because we are literally live with these people. I don't know who these people are that are making these decisions, but obviously they're coming from the same place we are. What makes you wake up that day and be like, they're so fucking greedy for money that they're killing us?
I agree with you wholeheartedly, but you're forgetting 50% of the puzzle, and that's on the patients, us.
Yes.
Because no one is taking control of their healthcare. No one is doing the things they need to do to eat healthy, work out, be fit. They're just either A, simply living in the suck, accepting their symptoms as their new normal, by either not knowing any better, not knowing that that's not normal, because they're not willing to do the research, or B, they're too lazy to do anything about it, to doctor shop, to, again, do the research. And they're willing to just take a pill and, again, accept the new normal. So while I wholeheartedly agree that this is a systematic healthcare industry problem, and doctors and the government could do exponentially better, I think society and patients as a whole can also do exponentially better.
Agreed.
Because also at the same time, why should we expect the government to care about our health
if we don't care about
when
ourselves.
We so blatantly don't care either?
That's fair. But you also remember too, like, devil's advocate here. These people don't know any better. We know better.
I don't disagree with that.
We know better.
Yeah.
Because we know better. But talking to some of these patients, like the one that has the osteoporosis patient that I was telling you about, literally had no idea that there was another option out there. Like, she didn't know that she can go to another doctor who might have another solution for her.
I agree. I've been going through the same problem with my mom. Like, she has been dealing with kidney stones, like, her entire life. And she's been going to the exact same doctor her entire life. And I'm like, have you thought about getting a second opinion? Well, no. But, like, I get so frustrated because I'm just like, how? Absolutely how?
I mean, this goes back to my mom, too, right? Like, she's on levothyroxine for her Hashimoto's. And she's symptomatic still, but it's her normal. And she doesn't see another way. And I'm like, I refuse to let that be my normal.
Exactly.
And I have a hard time, like, what you're saying with your mom. Like, how are you... do you get just so used to it that you just accept it? Or mm-hmm. is it just, like, blatant complacency? And I don't think it's complacency because our parents aren't complacent people for the most part. Like, if their foot started hurting tomorrow and it's never hurt before, they're going to go get it fixed until that foot doesn't hurt anymore.
I don't know. My mom probably would.
Oh, my mom wouldn't. She would get her foot fixed. And so it's like, okay, if you're willing to do that, then why aren't you realizing that the symptoms you're having isn't normal? Like, and we're just using examples to tell you that this is how the world is, or yeah. Well, how America is, because I think the world as a whole is a lot better than we are. This went down like I'm like very, like,
we're very passionate about this topic. This is probably like what we're most passionate about, which is actually really funny because I feel like this might be the niche we were talking about. Not that I want the podcast to become this, but we're looking at, like, speaking engagements and becoming guests on other people's podcasts. And I'm like, I can't decide, like, what one topic we want to be, like, our thing.
I think the topic is holistic.
Yeah.
Because holistic encompasses mind, body, heart.
Agree.
And we're looking for people who are interested in the holistic part of it. Because everything we talk about, friendships, relationships, health, fitness, whatever, it's about it's looking at your body as a whole and figuring out what parts are we lacking in and where do we need to focus and where do we need to shift our focus in?
Yeah.
Because if you don't have if you're not successful in any one of those, something else is going to fail. If you don't have good friendships and good relationships, your mental health is going to decline. If your mental health is declined, you're not going to want to work out. But if you're not working out, your mental health is going to decline. If you're not eating well and you don't feel good, then nothing else is going to matter. So when we're looking at the whole picture and what our niche is, I think it's the people that are really aiming to live a wholesome life.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like to them, because I think that everyone lives a little whole. Some people want to live on a prayer, like, in the woods with not connected to internet, whereas we're like, there's a balance here. We can balance out having a good time, having fun, living a quote-unquote normal life by also taking care of ourselves in every single way we possibly can. And that goes back to habits. That goes back to, you know, habits is really the core, right? What are we putting into our body? Are we drinking the water? Are we putting our brain... pump full of good material? Are we hanging out with people that, like, make us feel good? Are we doing what actually makes us happy? And if you're answering no to any one of those things, you need to reevaluate your life and figure out how the fuck to fix it. Because we say it over and over again, every single fucking episode. If you're not happy with your life, that's on you. And that could mean any of this. That could be your health. That could be your fitness. Whatever that is. If you don't like the friends that you're with, go find new friends.
Yep. Don't sit in the suck.
Like, so when we're talking about our niche, because we were literally talking about this before this podcast started rolling, I think that that's what it is. It's whole, like, we are looking for people who need help trying to determine how do I want to phrase this? The people that are attracted to our podcast are people that want to live a whole life.
And the definition of whole differs person to person, but we're here to help you define that. And take the beginning baby steps to get there.
And even if, like, because I don't think that everything we're doing is fit for everybody. I think that we have a very unique way of looking at life. But we want to trigger your brain to thinking, okay, what can I do to get myself more aligned with who I want to be.
Absolutely.
And that goes with everything that we talk about.
That was good.
My mouth hurts from being so aggressive.
I was watching your mouth, and you were very, like, stern with it.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I was. I feel stern with it. I just feel like sometimes when we get off these podcasts, I'm like, my mouth needs a rest. Especially with these that we're, like, I'm, like, passionate as fuck about. I'm like, fucking A. Hold on, guys. I thought I lost part of the episode.
I would have been devastated.
It just locked because I usually jiggle the mouse, but I sat back. I sat back here and I started going at it, and I've been using my hands, and I didn't jiggle the mouse.
Okay.
We're good. Go We're on. Fine. So I'm going to try and wrap this back up into the notes. I don't know if it's going to look into a bow, but bear with me on here. So we went on a huge tangent about, basically started with how I've been feeling and dealing with the doctors and Dr. Battis and like starting that. But one of the things that I want to encourage you guys, if you're on this journey of like similarly where you have symptoms that you haven't figured out yet, or you're in this process of like, yeah, it's going to be 2 to 5 years of healing and it's going to be slow and whatever. I'm making a conscious effort to control, let go of what I can't control and be like, choose things that I can control that will help me navigate this better. Did that make sense?
How I said that?
Okay. So obviously, like, I am focusing on making sure I stay gluten free and eat the foods that I want. We're starting 75 hard. By the time this is out, we've started 75 hard to make sure that I'm keeping the habits that I want to keep in. One of the things that I signed up for is I'm training for a half marathon in October, which sounds totally crazy, and it was on a whim, but honestly, at this episode, it would be week 4, but we're recording this at week 2, and I am very diligent on doing my training. Like, I literally told Danny, I was like, I gotta get here early because I gotta do my running. Like, I am following a strict training program for it because it makes me feel good. Like, it's helping my brain a lot better, and it's making my body feel good, even when there's a lot about my body I can't control right now. So my biggest advice to you guys, if you're in this journey or similar journey to what I'm in, or even if it's not even a health journey, but like a mental journey where you feel like everything in your life is spiraling out of control, find something that you can control that's healthy. Like, obviously, like, you could go down a slippery slope here with like eating disorders and stuff like that. And like, that's what I'm trying to avoid, because it would be very easy for this to become an eating disorder. Because I don't feel the way, like, my body doesn't feel like my body right now. So I chose something that I knew would be healthy and could help me focus in while I'm still doing all this detoxing, which is why I chose the half marathon. That being said, I do have a funny story. If you guys aren't following me on Instagram, you didn't see this. So there's one long run that you're supposed to run a week in this training marathon. And I was supposed to run, I don't know if it was 5 or 6 miles, but I think it was 5 miles. I don't remember, but it was quite a bit of mileage. It was on a Saturday morning. It was hot, summer, whatever. I'd started early enough that by the time I got back, it wasn't like the peak heat. I got back to my car after doing, I think it was 5 miles. We'll say 5 miles. Did 5 miles, got back to my car, realized I lost my car key. Somewhere along the run, lost my car key. And I was like, I'm on the promenade in Baltimore City. I have nowhere near my house. Everybody's working out. I was helping my grandmother out. Like, I was alone, to say the least. And so I didn't even know if I had my spare key. I didn't know where my spare key was. So I dug through everything, couldn't find it, sounded the alarm, told everybody. I was like, I lost my car key. I don't know what to do. I also had to take a shit. I don't. To this day,
she was texting me being like, I'm gonna shit myself.
The last mile of my run, I didn't run because I literally felt I was gonna shit myself. And then I learned I had to rewalk the entire promenade.
Guys, I don't understand how you lost it.
It came out of my fanny pack. That's all I everyone keeps asking me this. The only thing I can think of is I grabbed my phone out of my fanny pack to like change a song or something, and it fell out then. I didn't notice.
Ugh.
That's the only thing I can think of, because There's no other way it could have fallen out of my there's no way it could have fallen out of my promenade. There's no way it could have fallen out of my fanny pack. So I was like, I don't know, whatever. So needless to say, I 10 miles-ish loop on Saturday accidental. I got to Fell's Point, which was like basically my halfway park. I was so dehydrated. I was like, I'm going to pass out because I just ran. And that run was a stretch for me. Like, that wasn't an easy run for me. And I was like, I'm dead. So thank God it was a Saturday. The fucking hot dog stand, if you know what I'm talking about, with like the lemonade and the orangeade was there. And I don't like lemonade. I hate lemonade. Not a lemonade girly. But they had orangeade. And I was like, give me that now. So I ordered a large one. And the second I slurped like half it down in like 30 seconds. And I immediately felt better. Because it's got electrolytes in it. I felt so much better. And then I was like, oh. Now we can walk back. It'll be a nice walk back. Because I was like, I had like some kind of like rejuvenation from this fucking drink. And mind you, like, it's Fell's Point in Canton. So you had all the girlies out there dressed in real cute in their sundresses and their tennis skirts. And here I am. I'm wearing like fucking biker shorts, an oversized tank. No, I wasn't. I wasn't wearing an oversized tank. I was wearing a crop top. I'm burning. Literally, my skin is burning from the sun because I didn't put sunscreen on. I also don't like sunscreen, so I try to avoid that. And my face is beet red, drinking an orangeade, looking like an absolute swamp monster.
I was just going to say swamp monster.
And everyone's like, oh my God, we're drinking mimosas. I'm like, fuck you all. Like, hated myself. Never found the car key. Never found it. Thank God, Michael, my dad, brought my spare one in and it worked. The battery was dead, but I had batteries, so it was fine. It worked out.
I don't understand. You found the key ring, though.
Yeah, I found the key ring.
How did that happen?
So the key ring was kind of broke. This is where I fail as a human all the time. And I think it either flew off a key ring or someone was super fucking simple and took the key off the key ring, which I have a hard time believing that happened. I think it fell into the water. Because I was running along the water. It's a problem that was all waterfront.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking is what happened is it suicided itself.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's rough.
So I basically told Michael, I was like, no, I'm going to get a new car. And he was like, that's not how this works. And I was like, I lost my key. I'm getting a new car.
Writing it off. We're done here.
I was like, I'm done with this. This car has caused too many issues for me.
It's affecting my mental
health. The fact that this was the first time I've lost my key.
I'm impressed.
7 years with this car and I haven't lost a key once. I'm pretty proud. Now, I've lost my keys for like a couple hours at a time, but I've never, but like it was like in the house somewhere. Like I knew that it was like somewhere in the house.
Well, like, now that you don't have a spare, you need to like put an air tag on it or something.
I am going to buy a spare. I was super dramatic. I thought it was like $500. It used to be like $500, yeah. But they're like $50 now.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. I was like, whatever. I'll bite that bullet. Because I'm not going to not have a spare. I'd rather spend $50 for a spare than have to pay for a locksmith.
Yours is a remote start, right?
Push button.
I think what you're going to run into is getting it programmed is the expensive part.
I think you're right.
Oof. Don't love it for you.
Yeah. If it's $500, I'm not doing it buying a new car. It's a car payment. But that's what it is.
You're planning on buying a new car anyway. What's the difference?
And that's why I'm like, do I just suck it up for a month?
Yeah.
Like, I'm planning on buying a car Labor Day weekend. I have my noses.
You good?
Yeah.
Can't blow it. Or can't pick it.
No, I just feel like I have to sneeze again.
So, what I want to circle back to when you're talking about controlling things that you can.
Yeah.
I think something else really important to keep in mind. I try to remember this because this is something that I really struggle with. That the time is going to pass anyway. So, you can either spend the time that's going to pass regardless being fucking miserable. Or you can spend it actively trying to make your situation better. And either A, you are going to make your situation significantly better, or you can at least say you tried. And either way, I think that's more successful than wallowing in it.
I agree. I think that that's huge. Just taking the step towards something is better than staying the stagnant.
Yeah. And that applies to literally everything.
Yeah. Well, so let's go to that. Let's keep on that track of the control and not control, because you have on here the lack of routine and consistency.
Yeah, so this is something that I want to try to work out. Maybe see if you have any advice for me, because I'm a very type A schedule, routine, to-do list girly. And between shift work and then I'm getting ready to change jobs. By the time this comes out, I'll be at my new job. And just like all the uncertainties that comes with our field of work, whether that's getting held over, getting off late, not sleeping at night and having to sleep when you get home in the morning. Like, I really thrive at like 7 a.m. we're going to go work out. 8 a.m. we're going to make breakfast. Like, that is what I thrive on. And having these 24-hour shifts and, like I said, all the other factors that can play into my days off is really making it hard for me. And while, yes, I could very well try to get over that and just work out when I can and do these things when I can, it's very difficult for me. And I don't know how to overcome this.
Is it a time thing or a systems thing that you're struggling with? Like, do you like to, like, have things scheduled a certain time, or do you just like to do it in a particular order?
Both. I think that the older I'm getting, I don't know if this is my anxiety coming into play or what, but thriving on a routine and realizing that the EMS schedule is not how I can best thrive, I think is becoming more and more apparent.
This is two separate things.
Yeah.
Because I also feel that way, which is why I'm going into nursing, because I'm afraid that it's just going to get worse for me. And especially with having an autoimmune disorder, like, having routine and sleep are very, very critical.
Exactly, yeah.
So that, I think, is a whole other conversation in itself, because I love my job, but I love my life more.
Exactly.
So that part I can't help you with particularly right now, because I think that that's an off podcast conversation to have. I'm not a therapist, obviously, but I think some of this is anxiety when it comes to time, because if you have a routine, you know that routine's going to get done. Now you can be flexible in the way it happens, right? So if you have a good night at work, you come home and you're like, okay, when I get home, this is the things that I want to do when I get home. So, like, for example, there are non-negotiables I have when I get off work. When I get off work, I come home, I shower, I usually make myself a cup of coffee, and I read and do my daily gratitude and affirmations. What comes after that depends on how bad my night was. So there's non-negotiables I have when I get home, because even if I'm dead ass tired, having showering, making sure my skincare is done, and having those things are non-negotiable before I go to sleep. They just are. That has been a non-negotiable for me, and takes max an hour. So, like, that I'm okay with. So I created myself non-negotiables. Now, the routine for the rest of the day all depends on how my night went. If my night went great, I will finish the rest of it, whether that be if I have something planned, if I work out, like, whatever that looks like depends on. And the workout I'm flexible on. If I had a really hard night, I'm not going to go run 5 miles, but I can take the dogs for a 30-minute walk. So, like, I think it's just maybe creating it so you have your negotiables and your non-negotiables and your negotiables, and maybe playing around with that idea and seeing how that feels.
I like that.
Like, because there are things that we know is important to our daily routine, and skincare and that kind of stuff is, that's non-negotiable no matter what day of the week it is, no matter where we are in the world. Those are things that you and I thrive on. So maybe creating yourself a negotiable, non-negotiable list may help with combating the uncertainty of our job.
I don't disagree. I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah. It may not work, but it could be the solution you're looking for.
Yeah.
For right now.
Like, the no, band-aid. I like that.
Yeah. I don't know. The skincare thing is my shit right now. I ain't gonna lie. I've been doing it at work, too. I've been doing that's my awesome. Whole skincare. I never used to be like that, but it feels so much better to go to bed with a fucking fresh face.
It does.
And I also don't wear makeup at work anymore. I used to. I just do that glow afterglow stuff with the tinted drops.
Yeah.
And mascara.
How are you liking your eyebrows?
I love how dark they are. I still fill them in a little bit.
Okay.
Just because I have, like, half my eyebrows.
Sparse.
Yeah, because of the Hashimoto's. I just fill it in a little bit, but I don't have to do nearly as much as I used to.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I dyed her eyebrows on our little girly hotel night. I dyed her eyebrows like I dye mine.
It was... Gotta leave it on a little bit longer next time.
So yeah.
I'm a little bit darker, but I did enjoy them.
10 out of 10.
Well, do you have anything left to say?
I don't know. Are we at time? Do we want to cover anything 40 else?
40 minutes.
Okay, do you want to save motivation versus determination?
Yeah, I think so. I think that could be a whole nother thing. That rant got me.
Gotcha.
It got me good.
It got you.
It got me good. Well, you guys know where to find us, and if you don't, all the social medias, our link tree that's linked at the bottom of the episode will bring you to everything.
And if y'all could do us a ginormous favor and drop a review, we would really, really, really appreciate that.
And send in anything you want us to talk about.
Yeah.
We'll see you next Monday.
Bye.